Welcome to Security Strategies in Government, sponsored by Anomaly on Federal News Network and 1500 AM. For today's show, we hear from David Springer, a former counterterrorism planner and intelligence officer at the Defense Intelligence Agency. He's now an associate at the law firm Bracewell. To begin, we talked about cyber readiness with a focus on threats from Iran. Here, Springer said that agencies will remain at a heightened state of cyber awareness for the weeks and months to come.
So I think it's clear that both sides, Iran and the U.S., have made a concerted effort to step back from the brink of a direct military conflict. The threat of that, at least in the near term, is subsiding. However, I think the threat of malicious cyber activity has probably increased since then, only because it allows the kind of low-level, more subtle, less attributable malicious action from Iran to continue in a way that isn't likely, at least based on history, likely to provoke a overt U.S. military response.
Right, right. And what are the kind of things that agencies are vigilant about right now when it pertains to cyber attacks? Is there any kind of particular MO of what Iran in the past has been known to do?
Sure. Iran has a history of targeting financial and the energy sector. So I think certainly federal agencies are paying close attention to this and are targets that need to be very vigilant of what's going on. But I think a lot of the federal effort right now is helping the private sector prepare for this if Iran restarts or continues its campaign against some of these critical private sector industries.
Have you, from your perspective, seen or heard of any kind of escalation and any kind of, shall we say, like abnormal activity, you know, spear phishing, penetration attempts, things of that nature?
Yes, there have certainly been reports of an uptick. Exactly where that's coming from is obviously hard to attribute, whether it's proxy groups, whether it's just sympathetic third parties who aren't acting at the direction of the Iranian government. It's hard to know, but for instance, state agencies in Texas, where I am, have noted a large uptick in the amount of network probing coming from IP addresses in Iran. I haven't seen reporting that federal agencies are seeing the same, but I've got to imagine that's the case.
From everything that we've heard from folks in agencies, you know, it seems to be that this isn't anything that's going to be that they're going to let their guard down about anytime soon. That there seems to be a persistent state of vigilance, and that this could be something that is in the order of months, not just necessarily days and weeks. Does that seem like a consistent level of response to what we're looking at?
I think that's exactly right. And one thing with cybersecurity is where the threat is coming from doesn't exactly change your defenses. Unlike a lot of more traditional military things where geography and the exact nature of the opposing force matters a lot to your response, that's less true in cyberspace. So while tensions right now have brought Iran to the forefront, and Iran is a persistent threat and will continue to be a persistent threat in this space, there are obviously other high-end threats out there. And a lot of the same steps agencies and government can take against those other threats also are helpful in defending against malicious Iranian activity. So I don't think this is by any means going away from the front of people's mind. I think particularly low-level to mid-level disruptive attacks, so not big catastrophic industrial action right now, but kind of defacing websites, data, maybe even, you know, denying access to certain systems for a limited period of time, that is a very real and enduring threat.
As far as the time frame of, not that you can really set a deadline to these things, but as far as the timetable of when you think agencies will be maybe on this heightened sense of alert, you know, how long do you think that goes on for, or is this a new normal?
I think this is a new normal, or potentially just a reinforcement of the normal that's been the case for a few years. Malicious cyber activity, whether it's from Iran or other sophisticated nation states, is just a perpetual problem. And I think heightened vigilance is certainly warranted when there's a particular geopolitical event that makes a more imminent action more likely. And that's prudent, and I think people will stay on higher alert for a few weeks. But honestly, I think the level of alert in the federal government and the state governments right now has been pretty high for a while, and certainly the vigilance should continue because this is not going away.
Right. And I want to get your sense on the idea of kind of like a hybrid attack, whether it's from Iran or one of its proxies. Is that something that agencies are vigilant about?
Yes. Iran is certainly capable of disinformation campaigns and trying to elevate messages that it wants either internal or external publics to see. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they pursue cyber-enabled information operations, where it's not the traditional attack in the sense of disrupting or destroying something, but using cyberspace to create confusion. For instance, the downed airliner. I think there's early reports, and there probably will continue to be more in the news, of Iran trying to tamp down some of the most inflammatory messaging from within the country about it being their fault, the government's fault for shooting it down. I think you'll see more of that. And then the other thing when you talk about hybrid use of cyber is there certainly is a concern that you can have a mixed cyber and physical real-world attack where a threat actor can use cyber to either amplify the effect of some real-world terrorist or military action or create conditions that allow that real-world physical attack to take place. So I think those are both issues that agencies have been aware of for a while and will continue to be very vigilant about, as they should be.
Changing gears here a little bit slightly, you know, I want to get your sense on recent efforts in the past year or so, maybe longer, as it pertains to DHS and the intelligence community's efforts to really better share cyber threat intelligence with their partners in the private sector, and particularly with these owners of national critical infrastructure. As someone who's, you know, former DIA and where you are now with your perspective, how have you seen the evolution of that play out?
The federal government has really made strides in information sharing with the private sector. There is still more work to be done. It's not perfect. There's still concerns on both sides of exactly how much to share and when. But I think there's no question that it has been improving over time. You saw the NSA announce a critical vulnerability in Microsoft Windows. That was certainly done as partly a PR thing. I mean, it was a real threat, but as a way to show the government is more willing to work with the private sector and reveal certain vulnerabilities rather than just keep them secret and use them. And the government's been talking about doing this for a while, but I think you're seeing more and more. And then more in the sense of kind of critical infrastructure and critical industries, the government, particularly DHS and the FBI, have been really attentive to the needs of industry lately in terms of information sharing and actually helping industry once there's a problem to mitigate it and eradicate an intrusion on their network. And that's great because the sophistication of some of these state actors or state-sponsored actors that are conducting malicious cyber activity, it's stuff that not every mid to large-sized company in the United States has the resources to deal with. And so when there is nation-state involvement in some of this, it's entirely appropriate and makes sense for the government to step in and help with that, and they have been. And more, the government is both willing to share information, but then also willing to come in and help. You know, a lot of times, a lot of lower-level data breaches or low-level cyber attacks, the company does have the resources to just take care of it and then dutifully reports it as an intelligence thing to the government. So law enforcement and the intelligence community can follow up as appropriate if they need to do anything. But the government has certainly shown a willingness to go beyond that. And when there's a significant ongoing problem, be it financial or technical, government experts can come in and help. And that's been very valuable to industry.
You had mentioned in your previous answer about certainly things have gotten better, but perhaps still unease about the level of sharing. I'm wondering if you could go into a little bit more detail, if you're able to, of how those conversations are playing out and where both parties would like to be, with the understanding that things are good now, but how can they be better in the future?
Sure. Congress has taken steps to improve the legal framework for this, and that's helpful. But there's still a delicate balancing act on both sides in terms of the government being willing to potentially reveal sources and methods. And there are ways to sanitize data to try to share just what private sector critically needs to know and try to mask how that information was acquired. But that's always a very delicate balancing act and difficult to do. And sometimes you can't reveal information without inherently showing some sense of how you might have obtained that. So that's the tension from the government side, or one of the major tensions. And then one of the tensions from the business side is that a lot of businesses that are able to mitigate the direct consequences of cyber activity just want to continue on with business, get back to business, focus on the mission of their company. And I think there's a concern sometimes that a lot of government involvement in that, particularly when it's not necessary to prevent any further damage, is just a business risk that is not worth taking, either from having the government slow down the business's ability to do what it's trying to do, or just publicity. A lot of cyber incidents are taken care of quietly. Obviously, there are data breach laws that private companies have to deal with. But generally, there is a desire to keep this type of thing as quiet as possible when you can legally. And so there is a fear that once you get the government involved, that just brings up the profile of everything and increases the likelihood of a lot of media attention or other attention to what is in reality a small problem that has already been remedied and everybody can move on.
We've been talking a lot about the public-private partnership between the federal government, certainly, and the private sector. Another partner in all of this is the federal government and its partners in state and local government. Elections are just one piece of that. But since we have seen, you know, over the past couple of months, ransomware attacks bring down cities and municipalities in Texas, New Orleans, with that context in mind, similar question, but how have you seen that partnership between the federal government and state and local play out?
That's an excellent question. The relationship between the federal government and state governments on cybersecurity is critical, and it's certainly improved over time. Like the private sector, there's room to grow, but particularly with the election looming, I think the federal government has really gone out of its way to provide as much information and resources as the agencies are able to do legally and budget-wise to states. I think everybody is watching this election, and particularly the cybersecurity aspects of it, extraordinarily closely. And I think the federal government has been leaning forward, certainly compared to 2016, in getting information out early as possible to state authorities, providing all sorts of, starting with just basic tips and instructions, all the way through some more hands-on help with trying to secure election resources, because it's not just about votes and, you know, potentially a cyber threat to changing votes, which most people agree is not impossible, but is pretty unlikely. The systems are designed to prevent that. But there is a very, very real threat states are facing of the things that are attendant to elections, say voter registration databases. A successful cyber attack against one of those on or near election day could significantly undermine confidence in election and sow a lot of confusion and really be devastating, even if it doesn't fundamentally or directly change any vote casting. And I think federal and state authorities are very aware of that and are working closely together to try to beef up security, maintain vigilance, and have a common picture of what the threat is and the ways to confront it. And it's not just elections. As you noted, several municipalities in Texas and other municipalities around the country have fallen victim to ransomware, and state governments and local governments present an alluring target for those, especially when it's critical things. I think Baltimore 911 system was one of the victims. And when you have a critical thing like that, the potential willingness to pay a ransom increases. Now, more and more cities and mayors have signed on to a pledge or said publicly they won't pay a ransom, and that's probably very good policy. But I think the ransomware attackers are aware that it is a ripe target. At least their actions demonstrate that they think it's a ripe target. And so, unfortunately, I think we'll see more and more of that. But the federal government is trying to help states confront that.
Since we have been talking about mid to low level threats, you know, something that we have heard time and again from DHS and from the intelligence community on this is that an increasing awareness of what the response would be in the event of, as they've said before, like a cyber 9/11, a major catastrophic cyber involved kind of incident, you know, similar to what we've been saying before. But as far as the maturity of that game plan, that playbook of, you know, if that ever does happen, how have you seen that mature over the years?
I think there's a realization that when you talk about the real high end cyber threats, catastrophic things that affect physical infrastructure, the response isn't necessarily a cyber response. Certainly, you have to get computers back online. You have to get systems running again. But the response to that shares so many similarities to something that started as a physical disaster in the first place that I think there is sometimes a overemphasis on the cyber angle to it. Certainly, the prevention of that is very much a cyber problem in terms of beefing up defenses and being aware of potential penetrations or testing of those networks. But I think the response is very much tied to any number of real-world physical things that have nothing to do with cyber. And I think this is not something I've been directly involved with much, so I'm not trying to dance around the question. But I do think that there's a realization that that is such a large response would be needed, that that cannot be cabined into a cyber discussion. That is much more of a disaster recovery, emergency response framework that any number of things could precipitate something like that. The Justice Department indicted a group of Iranian nationals a few years ago for accessing a dam in New York State. And so the ability for bad actors to get into physical infrastructure has certainly been demonstrated. And I think the government is very aware of that threat and will continue to be very vigilant about access to critical infrastructure. And I think a lot of the effort there is on preventing the access and hardening the systems to prevent people from getting in the first place. And then anything that happened, which in the immediate term I think is unlikely because that would be very escalatory. And the people who have the capability to do that, in my estimation, aren't looking to escalate anything right now with the United States. But the response to that would be very focused on the physical mitigation of the, and I think a second order would be trying to figure out the attribution and the cyber nuance of it.
That was David Springer, a former counterterrorism planner and an intelligence officer at the Defense Intelligence Agency. He is now an associate at the law firm Bracewell. This has been Security Strategies in Government, sponsored by Anomaly. I'm Jory Heckman.